last investigator I chatted with in Chicago was Dr. David Maloney, and for our conversation, I asked him to list the most common questions he receives from oncologists about the management of NHL and how he answers these. Dr. Maloney began at the beginning with question number one.
I see a lot of low-grade lymphomas, and so one of my keen interests for the past 20 years has been, how do you map out a strategy to manage patients, especially with the indolent lymphomas, the follicular lymphomas? The reason this is an interesting subject is that they're considered incurable with our standard treatments, and there's a wealth of new agents that are coming into play. And the real question is, what do you do first, and what do you do second and third, and how do you map out a strategy that can maximize survival and minimize essentially toxicity? So top of my list is, what is the optimal treatment for a newly diagnosed patient with advanced stage follicular lymphoma?
So I want you to answer that, but before I do, I want to tell you something I think you'd find interesting, which is, in breast cancer, there's been this thing that's happened over the last couple of years where people are starting to really realize that estrogen receptor positive breast cancer has a very delayed relapse history. And maybe as many relapses occurring after 5 years as before, and the realization that you can intervene 5-10 years down the line with endocrine agents and still have an effect. And I'm starting to hear a few people compare it to low-grade lymphoma. Think that makes any sense?
I think people do say that. And there have been a few advances. The first advance in follicular lymphoma is that we now have an index that we can kind of judge what the natural history is going to be. That's called the FLIPI index, or the Follicular Lymphoma International Index. And this really can separate people into about three categories, to where they will have a long natural survival versus patients who, based on these analyses, would be expected to die within 5 years. The easiest way to remember them is, Jim Armitage taught me something called NO-LASH. And NO stands for nodal regions more than four. L is elevated LDH. A is age greater than 60. S is advanced stage, stage three or four. And H is hemoglobin less than 12.
Is there a kind of an easy website, sort of comparable to Adjuvant Online, where you can get this kind of stuff?
Yeah, I've not heard of any such thing. I'm well aware of the breast cancer data, but no one's really done it. The index is pretty simple, though. It doesn't require nearly the sophistication. Well, it's just based on 0 to 1,
right.
1 to 2.
Can you talk about your own approach to these patients clinically? So that's what people want to know, right?
Yeah, so the easiest way is to really determine whether they need to be treated or not. I'm still actually an advocate of watch and wait, or benign neglect, or depending on what people call initial watching. And I will watch people unless they have symptoms of their disease or classic criteria requiring therapy. So if they have a lot of disease, symptoms, or, you know, low hemoglobin or counts, then I'll certainly recommend initial therapy.
You know, we've been doing a lot of these pattern of care studies where we survey oncs in practice and also researchers in the field and compare, like we have this one where we have 51 breast researchers, 150 med oncs, and compare. We haven't done that with lymphoma, but maybe I'm wrong, but I have the sense that maybe the investigators are a little bit more conservative about starting treatment than maybe people in practice.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And this is what makes this very confusing to try to interpret clinical trial results. I think the patterns in the U.S. tend to be more aggressive and say, okay, now we have treatments that can improve survival, for example, which we never had before, and so therefore we must treat people immediately.
Plus you have a highly informed patient now, much more informed probably.
Yeah, it's not so much the patients. I think it really is the docs that are driving this. And the problem is that for the most part in the European trials, patients are not treated until their treatment is warranted. Now there's maybe some slow shift in this, but for the most part in Europe, patients are not treated until they require therapy.